The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "To what shall I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another, 'We played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We sang a dirge, but you did not weep.' For John the Baptist came neither eating food nor drinking wine, and you said, 'He is possessed by a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you said, 'Look, he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is vindicated by all her children." The Gospel of the Lord. There's any number of ways we can take this gospel passage. I think first we have to allow Jesus to level his critique at us. Okay, so how might we be like this, the generation in front of Jesus, who played a flute and you did not dance, sang a dirge and did not weep? It has to be that we think we are in control. Can you imagine, like, Jesus in the marketplace and these children, right? Whether it's, of course, it's all figurative, but playing a happy song and Jesus is not dancing, and playing a sad song and he's not mourning, right? The sense is that they think, at least this is the accusation, right, that they think they are in control. And if of Jesus, so of God. And I think that we have to absorb that critique for ourselves, because it could be when we relate with God, or we think we're relating with God, we're giving him instructions for how things are supposed to work, especially in our lives, especially for those people who are near and dear to us, and so on and so forth. But we're not in control. God is in control. And prayer ought to be, first and foremost, our giving ourselves over to him and his plan. Right? I mean, I ask that question a good bit these days. When, you know, Are you frustrated with God? Have you ever been recently? Have you been frustrated with God? That's a sure sign that you're not actually interacting with God. Kind of like interacting with yourself. You wish God would chip in on your plan. You're not terribly interested in his plan. Why does he care? It's not good enough. It's too small. Look, I get agitated about this, right? Because it's too small a life, and it's not Christian life. And then we turn around, I'm at a meeting in the diocese the other day, and every priest is commenting on the fact that we have less people, there's less money, there's less programs. Of course there is. Of course. And who cares? Are we doing what God wants or are we not? And if we're not, why would we expect him to bless what we're doing? It doesn't make any sense. Right? So I said, this is one way we could take this passage. Another way is that God always seems to do the unexpected. And I would say, especially in a godless society, God always seems to do the unexpected. Right? Like going out for the lost. Eating with tax collectors, prostitutes, Jesus, right? But let's bring it back again, right? I'm not going too far out. Let's bring it back. Is what are we doing that seems in the sight of the world to be unexpected? What are you doing that makes you different than anybody else? And when we sign our lives over to God, the God of, as Pope Francis says, the God of surprises, then we ought to expect him to work surprises in our hearts and lives, and also have us, as we go out with him, to work surprises in his world. So what looks different? And if we don't look different, then we shouldn't expect anybody else to come in. Right, and that's the people and the rest of the problem that we have. This basically a sociological problem that we have. Okay. How do you conclude something like this? Leon's asking the same question. The only thing that matters, right, and this is the celebration of the Korean martyrs as well today, the only thing that matters is that we give our lives whole and entire over to God. Martyrdom is pretty surprising, right? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And yet that word, martyrion, right, means witness. And each and every one of us is to be witness to the love of God that has been made flesh for us in Christ Jesus. We not only encounter that love every day we come here, we receive that love, we eat that love so as to become that love. Right? And yes, we're all called to give witness because we're all called to follow. And it's as simple as that, my friends, the takeaway. Trust and follow Jesus. Trust and follow Jesus. Right? Whenever you find yourself agitated, what are you trusting in that isn't Jesus? Whenever you find yourself frustrated, what are you trusting in? Probably yourself, but what are you trusting in that isn't Jesus? When you find yourself depleted, exhausted, whatever, what are you turning yourself over to that isn't Jesus? Trust Jesus and follow him wherever he leads. Listen, right, to the prompting of the Spirit and just be faithful. Right? There's nothing better in life than to be faithful to the promptings of the Spirit. There's nothing better in life to turn ourselves over to God and be about his work, his will, his love, his life. My friends, what do we have without it? Nothing. But with it, we've got the world. Right? That's our prayer. Jesus, Lord, give us strength to turn our hearts and lives over to you. Give us strength to follow you no matter where you lead.